You have been blessed by the ministry of Apostle Solomon Buckley and Fresh Wind International. Please consider supporting us by going to Cash App, $Prophet Solomon B. Again, that is $Prophet Solomon B. Also, if you would like to have a testimony, you could send us an email at freshwindinternational@gmail.com. If you would like to schedule for a personal prophetic ministry and prayer, you can also email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. God bless you.
Resisting the devil, and please listen to all the points because there are about three or four points that go along with this lesson, and so that everybody can get an understanding of where it's coming from. So Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the power of the gospel. I pray that you would bless this time together, that you would bless us, that it would be a fruitful time, and that we would learn and grow in each area that you have called us to learn and grow in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, James chapter 4 and verse 7. We're talking about today resisting the devil. So James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, therefore submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's go to the next verse. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded ones. So we're learning about resisting the enemy, learning about freedom from oppression, which is deliverance, freedom from demonic assault and oppression, is accomplished by submitting ourselves to God in full obedience to his word and complete dependency and trust. And as we do so, we bring ourselves in agreement with God's word and will, resisting and rejecting the lies of the adversary and accepting God's promises. Accepting God's promises and evaluation of our situation. As we resist, which means we stand against the devil, renouncing his lies and forsaking our own bent towards sin, we have the given promise of God's word that the devil will run or flee from us. There is no place of comfort or a demon in the presence of a joyful, submitted believer who has determined to fully embrace the Lord Jesus and abide in his word. So resist the enemy. But first, in order to resist the enemy, you have to have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who are one. And we're going to learn a little bit about resisting the enemy today. So first of all, we resist the enemy with prayer. We resist the enemy with prayer. I have heard this message spoken so many times in so many contexts, in church contexts, where they use the scripture and say, oh, just resist the devil and he will flee from thee. But they never tell you the points of why, how to resist the devil. You cannot teach a man how to fish without teaching him how to properly to set up his fishing pole. Right, Brother Jerome? You got to put his bait in the right place. He has to use all those things. You can't just send him there and tell him just stick your fishing pole in there and you don't have the right tools to use it. And we're just going to resist the fish. And I'm teaching you how to fish and you're resisting the fish. Right? So We resist the enemy by prayer. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 is the scripture that we're going to. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And then he spoke a parable to them that man always ought to pray and not lose heart. When we pray, it encourages steadfastness and guards against disheartenedness during the delay of Christ's return. So Christ has not returned yet, okay? He has not returned yet. But prayer helps to help us to remain steady until the Lord returns. So, Satan defeats Christians when they neglect prayer. Satan defeats Christians when they neglect prayer. When they neglect prayer. Luke 18 and verse 1. Men ought to always pray and not faint and not lose heart. So Satan defeats Christians when they neglect prayer. Prayer produces spiritual maturity and spiritual victories. Prayer produces spiritual maturity and spiritual victories. When you pray, it matters. It does matter. Amen. Prayerless people have no power over the enemy. Prayerless Christians have no power over the enemy. That's why certain people pray a certain way. They're begging God to do something that he's already done. They don't believe what they're praying. Have you ever met people that really don't believe that what they're praying? And they're in the church. If we're praying, we ought to have spiritual maturity. Our prayer life should produce spiritual maturity and spiritual victories. We ought to come to a place greater than where we've been before. Satan has no insight to our prayer line. Satan has no insight to our prayer line. The point I want to draw to you today, the only weapon that Satan has against prayer is to keep us from it. We're talking about resist the enemy. And so many, I used to hate, you know, growing up in the church, they would throw stuff at you, but they would never teach you what you were supposed to do in these cases. Oh, just resist the devil and he will flee. Oh, just resist the devil, he will flee. Oh, just turn it over to the Lord and he will work it. Wait a minute. We have the word of God here to help instruct us. So don't just tell me, just resist the devil and he will flee. Because now I don't know how to fish. Does that make sense, Brother Jerome? That would be like me taking you on my job with me, which you've never been to my job. You know, you've never seen what I actually do. But that would be like me taking you, sticking you in a room and saying, okay, Jerome, here you go. I'm gone. Remember, resist the devil and he will flee. I have not given you a roadmap. I haven't given you anything. I just stuck you in a room and said, have a good day, Jerome. How would you feel if you got put on a job and they didn't give you on-the-job training? You would be like, I'm out. I'm out. Deuces. I'm out. I can't take this. I'm out. I'm out. Y'all didn't give me on-the-job training. Y'all expect me to come in here and do this. Without proper training, we don't know what to do. So therefore, we're ignorant, which means without knowledge of a fact that we need. So one of the things that is going to help us to resist the enemy, the devil, is by prayer. Resist him with promises. Resist him with promises. 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Second Peter 1 and 4. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Christ is our example. Christ is our example that we model ourselves by, that we follow, that we encourage others to persevere in the faith, to stand in the faith. So we can take the word of God and resist the enemy and say, this is what Christ has left to us. Christ is our example. Look at all the examples that he went through. Look at all the things that he went through. At his birth, King Herod didn't want him alive. Okay, then in other cases he went through, he was tempted just like we were, but he took the promises and stood on them. And we can do the same thing. Luke chapter 4 talks about how Satan tempted Jesus. Satan tempted him. And we're no different. We're no different. The enemy comes and tempts us all the time. Why don't you lie on your taxes? That's the enemy tempting you. Why don't you break in somebody's house? That's the enemy tempting you. And whether you give in to that temptation or not is going to depict whose side you're on. So we resist him with promise, with the promises, the enemy with promises. These promises was given to us for a purpose. How to use the promises of God. We use the promises of God that are in Scripture, and we use that to combat the enemy. We use that to combat the enemy. Okay, next point. We resist the enemy with perseverance. We're unwavering in our response. The New Testament is called the covenant of promise. The New Testament is called the covenant of promise in Ephesians chapter 2 and 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 talks about the covenant of promise. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without Christ is the first of five phrases in this verse describing the entanglement of Gentiles before Christ came. Being without a Messiah is the fountainhead of futility and hopelessness. So without Christ, there is hopelessness. Does that make sense? Without Christ, there is hopelessness. No, now we're going to jump to the next point about resist him with perseverance. 1 Peter 4 and 13. 1 Peter 4 and 13. That's in the New Testament. 1 Resist him with perseverance. But rejoice to the extent that you were partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The truth of it is, Satan is confused when we persevere. Most people just give in and give up. But faith and patience are our power twins. Give an effort, persevere in offense as well as defense. Our last point. We resist him with praise. We resist him with praise. One of the things that I'm going to say to us again, always be at a place where you can research these things out. And I'm saying this to us for a reason. Any person that gets up behind the pulpit to preach ought to be able to articulate in such a way that people leave with a reality of what God is really saying and they can really apply it to their lives. We are in a day and time that we can no longer just throw out stuff and think that people are going to catch it. We got to give them the tools so that they can be able to apply it to their own life. So with this particular passage of scriptures today that we have used, it helps us to be well-rounded, and now we know what to do in order to resist the enemy. It's not just something that we just throw around and tell people, oh, just resist the devil and he will flee. Just resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Just resist the devil and he will flee. Just resist the devil. Well, what's the tools? We just saw here today, we resist the devil with what? Prayer. We resist the devil with what? Perseverance. We resist the devil with what? Promises. With the promises of the word of God. And the last point is we resist him. We resist the enemy with praise. Now you have something in your tool belt that you can actually stand up and use. You have weapons, but if you don't know how to use them, that's more dangerous than a person that knows how to use them. Because you'll use them in the wrong times, in the wrong season. You won't know what angle to use them. Like, it's like giving somebody a gun and they don't know how to shoot. They're going to shoot up in the air. They're going to shoot every which way. And they might even shoot themselves. Am I right? So, you know, we got to give people tools. Last point. Resist him with praise. Psalms 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord's name is to be praised. Too often, we do its backwards moaning until God finally answers. Sometimes we just complain, mumble, and grumble because we're going through resistance. We're going through all those things. But here's the thing. We resist the enemy with praise. We resist the enemy with praise. Do not neglect praise. We bring God into our situation when we praise Him. One of the things the Lord has been teaching me, and He should be teaching us because we ought to be growing, is the fact that He is coming. His coming is very near. The Lord's coming is very near. And one of the things is we have a harvest field out there that we have to prepare ourselves to be those harvesters that go out in the field and harvest souls. Am I correct? We got to have the tools. We got to have the tools in this season. So one of the things that I've been praying for, I said, Lord, don't allow me to be a stumbling block to the harvest coming through. Amen. Lord, don't allow me not to have the tools in order to minister to the harvest that comes. So that's why I'm doing everything in my power to prepare for harvest. And I believe that you are doing the same thing. At least that is my prayer this morning, that we would do that. You know, we have some great days ahead of us that the Lord is bringing us into. And we must listen to the Lord's voice. We have to listen to His voice and listen to His voice and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am before You. And I want to listen to what You're saying. Because even the Lord will show you and say, hey, something is coming. Something is coming. Something is coming. And the Lord will say, something is coming. I need you to prepare your heart. So this morning, I want to invite us just to position our hearts before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, before You. I want to use these tools to effectively advance the kingdom of God, but also to effectively be effective in my own life and in the lives of others that I come in contact with. So last